Hour two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David Janes here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. As we do every Friday morning at 7 o'clock, we welcome in our good friend Jared Stillman to the program here on this Friday morning. Jared, congratulations on snapping the losing streak and taking down Joe Rex Road on Wednesday. What a performance.
It was a complete and total domination. It's good to be back in the win column. Couldn't have done it, you know, without the team. I'm just so thankful for, honestly, for my ability to overcome Joe's winning streak, which I thought, you know, not to sit here and cry about the referees, but I thought it was a little ill-founded. So I'm glad to be back on the right side of the ledger.
Jerry, we've been discussing the John Hines situation. Obviously, Preds season coming to an end tonight, and Barry Trotz has a decision to make on the future of John Hines. Number one, what do you think happens there? Do you think he's back next season as head coach? And if he is, what do you think the reaction of the fan base will be?
So I asked Barry, you know, about that yesterday, and I felt like, you know, I think like you could understand this maybe better than other people, because there's so many things going on at one time, you know, especially with a long talker like Barry when it's a time segment. So I'm kind of like, you know, trying to manage that and also managing the next question and, like, listening to what he's saying and, you know, all at one time. So I heard what he said about John. It felt very non-committal, but I need to go back and listen to it, you know, kind of like a Talmudic scholar or something, and see if I can pick out something that Barry hinted at one way or another. I have no idea. Like, I really, you know, I did not get a vibe from Barry. I say that, and Caroline texted me and thought that what Barry said meant that Hines is gone. So, I mean, I think that everybody's reading it different ways. Personally, I'm torn. Like, it's a very un-Predators thing to do, to fire the coach. And Hines has done a good job in the second half of the season. But I think, just personally, Barry may be of the mindset to get somebody else in here. And I also wonder, too, because I didn't ask it directly, like, so you're going to fire the coach? But, I mean, I think I made it, like, pretty obvious that I was asking whether or not they were going to fire the coach. And I think if Barry knew he was going to bring John Hines back, wouldn't he have said it? You know, or, you know, really given the strong endorsement for it. So I think I would say right now, and again, I have to go back and listen to it, 55% gone, 45% stays. So it's not very committal there.
So I didn't hear this. So you didn't just ask a question. You danced around with some weak ass stuff. Like, what did you do?
Maybe you should listen to it and then you can judge.
Well, why don't you recreate it for us? I mean, you're already going to go back through and listen and find some syllable in the way it's you know, pronounced. And
I thought it was a fine question.
Turned on.
I mean, isn't
radio
it kind of your job, Joe, to listen to these things? I mean,
no.
Not only are you on the radio, and this is the, you know you're going to talk about the hockey team, and he is the future general manager.
It is not my
team,
job to listen to you. Absolutely not, and it never will be.
And you are the columnist for The Athletic, and you're the only person there who writes about the Predators, even though I pay like $7 a month for one person to write like one article every 2 weeks on the teams that I care about. Don't
Jared.
You? Isn't it your job to listen to that stuff?
No. Absolutely.
I did, Robbie.
This is between
in
you
In fact,
two.
Now I'm not going to out of spite.
I thought it was a fine question.
So you can either answer my question. You can answer my question.
To not listen to it, but I also think it's a bad job as a columnist.
I mean, do you think it's a bad job as a columnist to not listen to your freaking interviews? Dude.
I
think
listen to Jason Fitz on the program, that's one thing. It's another thing when it's Barry Trotz and the team is about to have a massive overhaul.
Yeah. Well, if anything came of it, I'm sure that I would have listened to it, Jared. But actually, I think that part of a job requirement for a columnist of the town should be do not listen to Jared Stillman's interviews. If there's anything you do, don't listen to Jared's interviews.
Then why does every columnist in town listen to the show?
What?
Every columnist. You listen to the show, Gentry listens to the show, and those are the only two columnists we have.
Every single one? Oh, my God. I don't even go ahead. Ask Jared a question. I don't even. I don't have one for him.
Wait, why don't you go do some homework, Joe? Why don't you go in the back and listen to the interview, and then maybe you can write a column for
it. I actually was going to go back, but I'm not.
Now it's just out of spite.
I have no sympathy for columnists because I do 16 of those a day by myself. You crank out one every 2 weeks, and I pay $8 a month for it. It's ridiculous.
You say you do 16 columns a day with your verbal diarrhea on the mic? Oh, my God.
That's
just
the
enough out of you.
The
enough.
Only difference is, for some reason,
Hang
columnists
up on
have
him.
To go sit at the game and then, you know, watch it from the 900 level and then write about it, as opposed to me that sometimes just watches it on TV and then goes on there and does 16 of those a day.
Yeah. I prefer watching things from the 900 level. That's just me. Jared, your thoughts on Will Levis?
Brilliant takes.
Yes. Your thoughts on Will Levis as a potential fit for the Titans at quarterback? He visited this week. We've heard from a lot of people that really don't like the idea of the Titans drafting Will Levis. What do you think?
So Titans fans hate Will Levis. I mean, I think Titans fans overwhelmingly hate Will Levis, and I think they also hate Anthony Richardson. I don't think they hate Anthony Richardson as much as they hate Will Levis. I'll put it to you like this. I don't know, like, I don't know the personalities of these guys, and that is by far the most important part. So if it's like Anthony Richardson, and I think they, you know, should trade up and draft him, and then he ends up being Kyler Murray and sits there and plays video games all day, well, like, there's no way that I would have of knowing that. So it's like the big, you know, asterisk at the beginning I'm going to put here. I mean, if you're sitting at 11 and Will Levis is there, I don't think it would be a horrible pick. I don't think he's particularly awful. I thought he had a bad season, and I was very disappointed by it. But I also do think that, I mean, Will Levis does have considerable talent, and people that I trust, like Bill Polian, say that he is legitimately a first-round player. So if you take a first-round quarterback in the first round, and I learned this when the Giants took Daniel Jones, and I, you know, they had the 17th pick in the same draft, and I was like, why would you take Daniel Jones at 6 when you could have taken him at 17? And Floyd was like, he's a first-round quarterback. And all that matters is that if you get a first-round quarterback, that you take him in the first round. So Will Levis, you know, according to Bill Polian, is a first-round quarterback, and I'm not going to disagree with that. I mean, I really am intrigued by Anthony Richardson. I mean, I thought Anthony Richardson, and I barely watched Florida play this year, but I thought he stunk. And then, first of all, I thought he was awesome in the Utah game, and then I thought he stunk. And then the draft season started coming, and I had this, like, neck, you know, spasm, and I couldn't sleep one night, so I watched a bunch of Anthony Richardson games. And I'm like, this guy is freaking awesome. Like, the way he can throw the ball with minimal effort and launch it 75 yards and sometimes hit a receiver perfectly in stride. You know, his testing is unbelievable. He's incredibly young. If you look at the numbers at his age 20 season, they're really not that far off from a Josh Allen or a John Elway or even Joe Burrow's age 22 season. TD actually did this yesterday. And he compared Joe Burrow's first year at LSU, his age 22 season, to Richardson last year at Florida. And I actually had the numbers in front of me because TD was like, you know, I have quarterback one and quarterback two. And I'm like, the first one's Joe Burrow, the second one's Anthony Richardson. So I really do like the talent of Anthony Richardson. But to your point, Titan fans hate Will Levis, and I understand why they hate Will Levis. But I would just say, you know, Josh Allen got his rear end spanked, I think, by like Northern Iowa or something like that. So let's not get too carried away when saying these guys suck. John Elway was 4-7 as a junior, and I believe he was 5-6 his last year at Stanford. Like, let's not get too carried away with, this guy didn't win, so he's not going to be good in the pros.
JC in Goodlettsville has a good point. Jared complains about being a long talker? That's a very good point, JC. Okay, Jared, so this neck crimp is why you flip-flopped on Richardson? Like, I mean, you totally flip-flopped on this idea of, like, how could you gut yourself with your picks and move up to get someone like him? And now you would do that.
No. The neck cramp happened, like, 2 months ago. I think for me, the one thing I keep thinking about is when I listen to these former general managers talk, like Rick Spielman and Bill Polian and I don't know if you guys know this, but I think I'm pretty well-versed in former GM talk. And so when I listen to these guys talk about how elite of a prospect Richardson is and his talent, all I think back to is all the complaining Titan fans do about the fact that their quarterback isn't good enough to compete with the top talented quarterbacks in the league, the Mahomes and the Allens and the Burrows. Well, you're not going to get a Joe Burrow, so forget about that. But I mean, Kansas City was willing to take a risk on a guy and move up for a guy who had an immense amount of talent, and then they developed him. And Buffalo did the same thing. I mean, they traded a left tackle, they traded a first-round pick, they traded 2 second-round picks to be able to move up and draft Josh Allen. And I think to myself, well, because Titan fans don't want to develop Anthony Richardson. And the thing that I would say is you can't want to be like those teams and not do what those teams were willing to do. So, like I said, I don't know the kid. I don't know if Anthony Richardson has it up here or, you know, in the heart. I don't know those things. But as far as the pure raw talent is concerned, it is at the level of a Mahomes or an Allen or, I mean, it is been described by former general managers, including one that's got a gold jacket, as Cam Newton but better. And so I think at the end of the day, everybody talks about tanking, and I'm not saying tank, but I think it is the idea of, like, look, this is going to hurt the 2023 football team, but Kansas City did it, and they've been to 5 straight AFC championship games. So that's how I view it. You can't want to be like those guys and then not be willing to do what those guys did.
Jared Stillman joins us every Friday morning at 7 o'clock here on the program. Jared, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Robbie, enjoy your weekend. Joe, do some homework.
Yeah, go eat some Rocky Road.
Thank you, Jared.
Hey, real quick before we go to break, I just want to do a quick shout-out. Aubrey Lusso had a hole-in-one yesterday, Franklin Bridge, hole 3.
Oh, sweet.
Shout-out to Aubrey, 12 years old, hole-in-one.
Oh, gracious.
My life will never happen.
Oh, yeah.
Nice job, Aubrey.
You know, I got within about 10 feet of the cup on one shot yesterday, and I was like, yeah, that's great. Awesome. Knock it out.
On a par 3, like, yeah. Okay.
That's close as it'll get. It's not getting any closer.
All right.
Shout-out for that. 12 years old, hole-in-one. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on what Jared Stillman had to say there. A lot to react to there from Jared. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Oh, Nashville's best deal of the week is Joyland in East Nashville. You can get half off a $30 gift card at thegamenashville.com/deals and enjoy the best burger in town. Find some joy today and eat Joyland for half off with Nashville's best deal of the week at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Jared Stillman for joining us in the last segment. Lots of things to react to there from Jared Stillman. Do you feel like, Joe, you're ill-prepared after not listening to Jared do his show yesterday?
I'll never listen to his show again. That's my vow, and that's my promise to you.
To no more
listener,
Twitter.
To the reader.
No more show.
Exactly.
I enjoyed every last second of it.
Yeah, I know you did.
Yep.
Someone did point out. Now look, I will say this for Jared. I mean, I think Jared made a good case there, you know, for why on Richardson. Now, you know, there's plenty of examples of teams doing what the Chiefs and Bills did and then not working out, right?
Sure.
I will say, Zach, this is pretty funny. I love how Jared is easily swayed by a former GM's opinion. I wish every former GM would have a different opinion every day about the same players, so someone would get whiplash from flip-flopping. That's pretty good. But no, look, those two examples, those are two recent examples. Those are two of the best quarterbacks in the league, two of the best teams in the league, and they did that. They were willing to mortgage some. I mean, because that Kansas City Chiefs team, yeah, that's a team that still, won the division, right? Had a home game, hosted the Titans in a playoff game, even after drafting Mahomes in the previous draft, rather than using draft capital to help their team. How much better could that team, that Alex Smith quarterback team, have been had they not mortgaged some future to get Mahomes? We all know how it worked out. If you tell me it'll work out that way with Anthony Richardson, then yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you want to try to go apples to apples on that one, I mean, Mahomes was still a very effective and prolific college quarterback, you know, at Texas Tech. Like Mahomes as a quarterback at Texas Tech, a lot less people like saw him because no one watches Texas Tech. You know, they're in a bunch of like 45-42 games, wins and losses. And then there were, you know, with him at that time, there was a lot more like system quarterback. I don't, you know, it's a little different than Richardson, who has been, I mean, at just in performing at the position has been wildly erratic. All right, what are you laughing about?
Huh. Jared told me, sent me a text and told me to read a text message on the air, and I'm not sure that he realizes. I think this text message is full of sarcasm, but I'll read it anyway. It just says, Joe, why do you think you can be a columnist without doing your homework? Everyone knows if they want to hear hard-hitting facts without any conjecture, Stillman & Company is the only true source. Asking for a friend. It's from a texter on the text line.
I'm just going to let that sit there and steam, kind of like one of Gus or Quinn's turds on the sidewalk.
There's always a way to bring Gus and Quinn.
Yes, we haven't shouted them out recently. The other day, Quinn just dropped one, just seriously, like without breaking stride in the sidewalk. Like, how do you do that? Like,
keep it
moving. Find some grass.
How Quinn. You doing? Keep yeah. it moving out there.
Comes to mind right now for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why.
ESPN came out with a piece yesterday. Now, TD was a part of it. And basically, it's ESPN NFL Nation going through some rumors, buzz rumors, answering some questions about all 32 teams around the draft. And like I said, TD was a part of it, talking about, you know, Skoronski and Paris Johnson Jr. and all these different things. They also had Matt Miller comment on this, too, that works for ESPN. And it says, what we're hearing about the Titans draft, quote, people I've spoken with aren't ruling out the Titans trading into the top five for a quarterback, but I would consider it a surprise. An AFC exec said, quote, everyone outside of Tennessee thinks they'll trade up, but no one in the organization is saying it directly yet. That was the end quote from an AFC exec there. Tennessee considering several positions in round one, and the most common scenario shared among NFL sources is Tennessee staying at 11 and aiming for a pass rusher, which that part of it was kind of interesting. But that's what Matt Miller had to say at ESPN yesterday, that the everyone expecting the Titans to trade up, but no one in the Titans organization has said anything about that, which, I mean, I read that, and my first thought was like, well, I don't expect the Titans organization to be running around saying, yep, we're moving up.
Hey, you want? Let me tell you what we're going to do, because that happens a lot. Now, there's a lot of stuff that comes from a lot of organizations. Sometimes it ends up being along the lines of what happens, and sometimes it's completely different from what happens by design. So, but that is interesting. You know, someone brought up also on the text line today, Anthony Richardson, very good S2 score, by the way. We've talked a lot about S2 cognition recently. Richardson also in that 90, I believe, 90th percentile. So, I mean, that's good. That's
apparently Levis was good, too.
Yeah, I mean, basically it sounds like, and I have not heard on Hooker. I've not heard anything about Hooker. But Stroud apparently did not do well, or did not do well compared to those guys. Is that and Charles Robinson said yesterday, yeah, that could cost him. What if C.J. Stroud is the guy who falls? Uh-huh. Like, I think the S2 stuff's great, and those guys are great, and it's a good tool. You don't want to.
There are limitations to everything.
Like, I mean, mental processing is obviously hugely important. I think it does. Like, Bryce Young having a 98, totally to me, like, I see that on the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's a great thing for Richardson, given as I agree. I mean, he has all the talent in the world. That's also there. That to me speaks to a little bit better to the idea that he really could develop into a consistent player.
Well, look, I'll say like I'm pretty much on board with what Jared said in terms of like if you want to go get the guy, like it's always going to be some level of risk, right? Like there's there are different types of risk in order to find your quarterback, but like if you're Vrabel and you're Carthon and you're the Titans sitting there evaluating Anthony Richardson and you think that there is a decent chance that he can turn into that elite guy, then yeah, like I'm all for it if you're the Titans and you feel that way. I don't know that I feel as strongly about Anthony Richardson turning into that as other people do. I'm also not an NFL general manager or evaluator. So, obviously he's got physical tools. Everybody can see that. What is that going to translate to? How quickly can you develop him? All those things. He came out with a nice piece at the Players Tribune yesterday, which was interesting to read on Anthony Richardson. I mean, I like the guy. So
I missed that.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty good. So, like I said, I mean, if you're – the idea of you can see the talent. You know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but go take a chance on that talent. I mean, I can get behind that, especially at that position, because as Jared pointed out, you do have Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen that are not going anywhere anytime soon, and you're going to have to find a way to get through them if you're the Titans at some point. Whether that's now or whether that's 5 years from now, the equation is going to be the same. All those guys are still going to be there.
That's
right. There's Herbert and everybody else.
That's right. But, hey, just go get Caleb Williams next year.
Well, could do that.
Problem solved. Maddie says if Stroud falls, they should trade their mothers to get to three. Whoa, jeez. I should punch my mic in protest of that.
I understand that there's some chatter out there about, like, the Texans right now and what exactly they're going to do. And we talked about the agent thing yesterday. Like, if you're operating, oh, I don't want to work with that agent, so I can't draft C.J. Stroud. It's like, well, that's pretty stupid.
Yeah, you're hosed.
Granted, the Texans have been pretty stupid lately, so who knows? Maybe that is the way they're going to operate.
That is true.
But, like, I think, would be pretty surprised if Stroud falls to three.
But what if it's because Richardson goes in one of the top
five? Well, it could be.
Well, that could happen.
It could. I'd be surprised, but it could.
I'd be surprised, too, but all these things we're talking about, yeah, they're talking about too. And again, also out there, I haven't read the Players Tribune piece, but I think the general consensus from reporting around the league is his interviews have been fantastic.
Yeah.
So the Titans will get that. You know, the Titans will get that chance here in a few days, and I mean, who knows? He could absolutely blow them away, and it may not matter because he's going number one anyway.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversations on the quarterback coming up next, including Hendon Hooker and why, for some out there, he's pretty hard to evaluate heading into this draft process. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Make sure you tune in later this morning at 845 for your chance to participate in Pred's Pick to Click. Brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Visit tjandersonhomes.com to see why they're referred to so often. And Superbook Sports, voted number one sportsbook in Vegas. Download their app today. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam from Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, Joe, man, I've been so passionately against this topic. That's why I've called you guys so much this week, because I feel like it's kind of comical, but I know, like, this is the only chance I have to talk about football, is to talk about these ridiculous drafts and evaluations of these players. But the thing that I always think about, because I remember, and I've told Jared this, is that he was really hyping Malik Willis last year. As much as he hates him now, he was like, that Malik Willis, you should do that arm. Like the dude did that. So that's why these conversations are goofy to me, man, because I don't know if it's Levis or if it's Hendon Hooker. Somebody's going to fall. They're not going to be – Malik was supposed to be a top-five quarterback. He's third round. And somebody is going to do the same thing. So if you like one of these quarterbacks, you'll probably be able to get him in the third round, because they're – like, this is just us talking. If it's NFL executives, they're not going to hit anything real to anybody. So I just think – I think the conversation's kind of goofy, man, and I think these guys could absolutely not be worth what everybody's saying they are.
Hey, thanks for the call, Adam. Now, I agree that – some of these guys will not be worth the conversation we're talking about right now. None of these guys fall in the third round.
I was just going to say, no. I mean, you're right. Like, there's misinformation, but there's also good information that comes out now. I mean, like, typically, I mean, I've never seen a mock draft be exactly right.
No.
But I've seen plenty of mock drafts that get, like, you know, 18 of the picks right, and just about everyone in generally the right area that we're anticipating. Last year was weird because I think some people couldn't believe that quarterbacks would be that devalued and that they were that bad.
Right.
But there were a lot of people saying that.
Well, the conversation around these quarterbacks are totally different than the ones a year ago. Now,
yes.
I would still say that based on what we've seen, there's probably – more excitement about next year's quarterback class than there is this one. But the quarterback conversation this year is way different than it was a year ago. Like, I shouldn't say I have no doubt. I would be shocked if Stroud, Levis, Young, and Richardson aren't all gone in the first round. And I'm starting to move to being surprised if Hendon Hooker doesn't move in the first round too, for no other reason than the fifth-year option. Like, I think the fifth-year option at quarterback is important.
Yeah, if you're about to take Hooker and you're hoping he falls you in the second round, move up and get the fifth year. And someone will.
Well, and speaking of Hendon Hooker, I mean, the conversation around him right now, we've talked about the age thing with him, obviously the torn ACL. Like, honestly, like, I don't really care about either one of those. I mean, the ACL is a concern, but we know what ACL injuries and the recovery looks like with modern medicine and all that stuff. But it is interesting to watch how he's evaluated right now, and a lot of people are pointing to the Tennessee offense and the way that they do things and trying to figure out how exactly that's going to translate to the NFL level for Hendon Hooker when it comes to reading defenses and making timely throws and all those things. And there was an interesting piece at The Athletic, Joe, that came out that kind of highlighted some of those concerns about Hendon Hooker as well.
Yeah, here's a piece I've read. Have you read this, Jared? Jared's mad that I haven't read the Players Tribune Anthony Richardson piece yet.
Yes.
So I'll do that for you today, Jared. But this one is interesting. Ted Gwynn, friend of the show, and I think he does a good job. He does a good job with some film here of showing some of the hesitation. Now, I don't care about the 25 years old. He mentions that. Everybody's going to mention that. I don't care about that. I
don't really know why an NFL team
would. I think that's overblown. The ACL, sure, you know, it cost him some of the draft process. I mean, if he could have done some things during this process to help himself, he wasn't able to do it. I don't think that's a huge concern. But what he brings up here, of course, is just this offense, Art Briles' offense. And it's just, there are just things that, and we've talked about this, but this piece just does a good job of kind of laying out how different this is from other offenses and how different it is from what he will do in the NFL. It is a lot of half field reads, but again, even with that, the half field reads, again, there's a lot of quarterbacks who come in the NFL now who have been successful, who have been in offenses that basically you're being asked to read half the field. But even with that, though, there are the splits, the routes, the particular reads, it puts defenses in a bind that does make it easier for the quarterback, you know? So he has some, like one example he gave, which actually I didn't hate this throw at all. He kind of stared it down a little bit, but it was that pick at Georgia, right?
Yeah.
So,
the Ringo pick.
Yeah, Keely Ringo. And it's a one-on-one. And he put it up there, and, he didn't throw it perfectly, so you want to throw it a little bit better. But basically, the coverage could not have been better. It was an NFL cornerback who – is Ringo going in the first round? He's probably a second-rounder anyway,
probably
right?
Second-rounder.
Yeah, second-rounder. Goes up and makes a great play. So here, let me read a little bit from Gwynn. This play exemplifies one of the flaws of this style of football. Your receivers have to be significantly better than the opposing defensive backs to win deep play after play. That sort of talent gap doesn't exist at the college level against a team like Georgia. Rarely does in the NFL. Another way this offense can be detrimental to QB's development is there aren't a lot of built-in answers against the blitz. A lot of time, you got seven-man protections. You have a deep choice route. One guy get open. The NFL quarterbacks have to have a variety of answers against the blitz. Bottom line is, Hooker has to answer and has been asked and has been answering all these questions about, okay, now let's look at this in a traditional, more NFL offense when now you have to try to diagnose the coverage and it's not, you're not basically like kind of tilting the field in your favor with your scheme, this, go through. I have no doubt that Hooker can answer those questions. And again, I think he's going to be a good quarterback because I think we saw enough from him doing a lot of different things, including off-schedule plays where he had to read things and go through progressions and make good throws. I think he'll be fine. But it is, like, this is part of why he's going to go where he's going to go, as I think he's the fifth quarterback of these five. And, again, Heupel needs Hendon Hooker, I think, to prove that you can play in this offense and then go to that league and be good.
Yeah, I mean, I think Heupel needs it. I think Hooker, when you look at the way Tennessee's offense was run, there are still elements, like you said, that I think translate well. I think his elusiveness translates really well to the NFL. Obviously, he's got some ability to escape and move outside of the pocket. All those things are good. I mean, the one thing that I think is valid that, you know, that is we've talked about a lot here, like the wide splits, you're not going to be able to do that, and you're not going to be able to create those matchups in the NFL. So, I mean, we know this moving from college football to the NFL anyway. You got to make way more tight window throws in the NFL than you have to make in college football. It just is what it is at that point. Now, we've seen Hendon Hooker make some tight window throws too, and one of the things that everyone talks about, and it's included in this piece too, is everybody feels pretty good about the arm strength that Hendon Hooker brings to the table too. So the ability to make tight window throws, yeah, he didn't have to make a ton of them last year, but he did have to make some, and I thought he made a lot of them really well last year.
And Matthew from Jolton brings up something that's really important, and Alex Golish more than once said this to me when talking about Hooker and about, you know, basically why he's so good. It's like, I mean, whatever offense you're in, like, he doesn't throw interceptions.
Right.
So, again, I just mentioned one, the one against Ringo, and he did. He threw, at least one pick against Georgia last year, too. So sometimes against the best of the best, he does. He had one against Bama this year. But the lack of interceptions, like, don't overlook that. That's a huge deal. Whatever offense you're in, you know, the fact that he takes care of the ball, that again, that's part of why I look at him, and I just think the overall package says, you know, he's going to be able to get it done in this league.
Well, in this piece in The Athletic, it talks about where Brugler's got him. He's the number 5 quarterback in the class, number 49 overall in his top 100 rankings, a second-round grade. But they bring up some comments that James Palmer said on the Cut to It podcast with Steve Smith. You want to hear what teams think of Hendon Hooker? There are plenty of teams that have him above the bottom two that you mentioned, talking about Richardson and Levis. There are plenty of teams that have him third on their list, right below those top two in Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud.
That's how I rank him.
Well, plenty of teams.
I'm basically a team.
Right. Like, what does that mean? Like, does somebody love Hendon Hooker enough to move up significantly in the first round? I don't know that I mean, like, number 5 overall, like Tannenbaum had him going, but – like, this idea that you could get Hendon Hooker at 20 if you're Seattle, or somebody could trade back up to pick 25 or 26 and get him. Like, does somebody love Hendon Hooker enough where he's gone at 11 or 12 or 14, somewhere around there? I don't know. I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, I feel like even teams that feel that way probably have confidence that they can wait some. Like, I still think he's going to go 5th of the 5.
I would agree.
But it could be, you know, I mean, Michelle's called shot. Could be a good one. All 5 in the top 15. It's possible.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road. We have the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road coming up next. This is 1025-1063, The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Glorious, and I'll sit here, I'll live it there, till I'm victorious.
It's so stupid. It's a terrible song.
And it is that time of the day, a glorious time of the day here on the program. The Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the show. Joe, the last time for a while that we'll hear glorious inside Bridgestone Arena tonight, the season finale coming up for the Preds.
Yeah. Hey, may as well play it at every opportunity. Make it the goal song, too. Why not? Put it on a banner.
Joe, the floor is yours for your Rex Rant today.
First of all, I need to correct myself. Aubrey Lusso, shout out. I gave the shout out earlier. Hole in one. Franklin Bridge, par 3, 125 yards. She's 13. She's not 12. My bad.
There you go.
But again,
still impressive.
Hole in one at that age, something I will never do in my entire life. Maybe you will.
At any age.
You are a golfer. You may get it done at some point.
I don't think so.
You never know. All right. We've talked about this some, but I'd like to do a little exercise here. just to remind all of us, because we're all yelling and we all have our takes, and it's especially in a city where a quarterback is potentially going to be drafted. No idea if that'll actually happen, but it's possible.
Yep,
there is a chance. The lead up to every draft on quarterbacks, like, you don't know. I don't know. Nobody knows. Please just keep that in mind. And maybe I do the same thing. I don't know. But like this, I mean, I guess I should. I'm sitting here and I'm guilty too, because I'm bullish on Bryce Young. Someone just texted, like, what would you upset if Bryce Young is at 3? I said, trade the world. So I'm pretending I know too, but I don't know. I mean, if you tell me right now that Bryce Young's going to totally flame out and just be like an average, like, backup in the league, like, that doesn't register on the list of surprising things. Nothing should ever surprise you when it comes to an NFL quarterback not making it. They almost always don't make it. So let's just go back. Let's go back to, oh, I don't know. Let's go back to 10 years, okay? Let's just go through the first round quarterbacks. 2013, there was only one. It was E.J. Manuel to the Bills from Florida State. 2014, you got a little Blake Bortles. You got a little Johnny Manziel.
Oh, boy.
And a little Teddy Bridgewater. Now, Teddy Bridgewater was trending pretty well before one of the worst knee injuries the league's ever seen. But still, 2015, we all know what that was. It was Jameis, and it was Marcus, and it was they're both going to be all-time great quarterbacks, good but Lord. Who's who?
That is a heck of a three-year run.
2016, Jared Goff. And, of course, that's the pick that the Titans traded. He's fine. Carson Wentz. Paxton freaking Lynch.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Sure.
The Memphis great.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, 2017. Oh, the Bears, that Mitch Trubisky pick. Oh, what a great job by the Bears. Mahomes goes 10. We talked about that one. That's a beauty, man. That's an all-timer. And Watson 12 to the Texans. Okay, I mean, he can play. Baker, number one, QB1, number one overall. Baker Mayfield, 2018. Sam Darnold, number 3 overall. Josh Allen, there you go.
Yep.
But right after him, Josh Rosen. And you do have Lamar Jackson. So, look, I mean, that draft, I mean, at least you had, like, two that worked out. 2019, QB1 overall, Kyler Murray,
mm-hmm.
Daniel Jones, Dwayne Haskins, you know, obviously a tragic story personally, but before that, I mean, it's a bad pick. It's like most quarterbacks don't work out.
Yeah.
Now 2020, you got Burrow, Tua, and Herbert, and Jordan Love.
Oh yeah.
And we still all these stories are not written. You know, it's funny because Burrow, yes, Burrow's going to be great. He is great already. Herbert, we think so. Hey, he's very talented. So we'll see.
Just waiting on the best QB of that draft to start things rolling this year.
Yeah, like I think Tua, you know, look, I think that Tua last year changed the story on him. A lot of people were, you know, shoveling dirt on him, including a certain radio host, so I need to listen to more often for his takes. And then, yeah, we'll see on your guy Jordan Love. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance in 21. And then, of course, last year was only Kenny Pickett. It just, there you go, there's 10 years. So of all those, you actually did have – I would say in a 10-year stretch, the fact that you have how many guys who are going to wear gold jackets? Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen, I think, and maybe Lamar?
Maybe Lamar, Lamar.
And who knows? I mean, look, even like Herbert. I mean, like, it can work out. This is why you do it. This is why you try to find these guys. But look at just the absolute disaster picks all through there. And this year – in all likelihood, one of these guys is going to be what people hope.
Yep.
And then maybe a couple will at least be, like, pretty good. And, you know, I mean, Tannehill is an example of a guy who was not what the Dolphins hoped he would be. But in the end, it's going to be a guy with a good career. I mean, top 50 quarterback. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah.
That was a joke. But in all seriousness, like, maybe a couple who – or at least they have okay careers, and then a couple are probably just going to be complete disasters, and it could be any of them. So my point is, like, we don't know, and I pretend like I know too, so I'm guilty of it as well. It's fun, but, like, you just – I mean, I see every single argument for all these guys every day and against them, and with such conviction, you know? You don't know, man. I absolutely believed – I'll call myself out this for the rest of my life, that Ryan Leaf was going to be a better NFL quarterback than Peyton Manning. I thought Peyton Manning was going to be great. But Ryan Leaf, I was like, oh, yeah, that's Dan Marino 2.0.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Well, I mean, think about Jamarcus Russell, right?
Oh, boy.
Those are probably the two examples we bring up the most.
Charles Robinson on him back in the day. Oh, I need to find some of that stuff.
He can throw the ball 70 yards from his knees.
Great. That'll help him in an NFL game.
Well, to your point, I mean, first off, it's what makes it fun, right, is trying to identify the quarterbacks that are going to be able to get to the next level and give you a chance to be great and be a chance to have those elite guys for years to come as they move forward. But like you said, I mean, you rolled through some names there that have worked out really well. You rolled through a whole lot of names there that were total flameouts in the first round at quarterback. And that's just the way – look, that's the way things go in this league. And what you're hoping if you're a team that drafts one of these is you trust your scouting, you trust your gut, and you trust that you've made the right decision at quarterback. You know, we talked about this earlier this week, like for the Titans standpoint, like just because – you've had some picks in the first round in the past that haven't worked out. Like, that has nothing to do with this process and this draft and all those things. But I do think what you can take away from the Titans' history of drafting quarterbacks in the first round is it's very hard. And it's very hard to make sure you land the right guy in the right year, in the right situation. All those things are really difficult to do.
Yeah, you know what we need to do next is I saw a site that has like has it all gathered together, all the first round quarterbacks picked by each franchise. That's a funny one too. You want to go, especially with some franchises. You know, part of this is development and situation, and just right place, right time, or wrong place, wrong time. Go to Detroit, play for the Lions. You're probably wrong place, wrong time. Chuck Long, Joey Harrington, those guys might have been great somewhere else. So
Joey Harrington, man, that's a blast from the past.
Joey Harrington could ball.
Yeah.
Another great Oregon quarterback. But that's definitely a part of this. I mean, without question. So from the Titans' perspective on that, I mean, I feel like they're capable of developing a quarterback. Again, if you don't think so, then you got real problems.
Yeah.
But some are better than others. And I think Brian Daboll, you know, leaving the Bills – Is there a coincidence that Josh Allen threw more picks and kind of faded last year? I don't know. But obviously that guy has a special gift for doing that stuff.
Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line says, Joe, it's the best take on quarterbacks I've heard. All great points. This is from Chip from Mount Juliet on the text line.
Why, thank you, Chip.
Yes, thank you very much. I got another text that says, the problems with these quarterbacks is every single one of them requires persuasion and justification. The teams that are at the top of the draft are so desperate, they're like a guy who never gets a date and gets engaged without living with her. This is from a texter on the text line. There you go.
Without living with her? Living in sin?
What are we doing?
That's my next Rex rant.
We'll check it out on Monday. Coming up at 745, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter and host of Talking with TD. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.